For those of you who don't know me, my name is Jody Hansen. My husband Andy Voss and I have been partners at Spirit of Joy since sometime in 2007, which is getting to be quite a long time now. I'm a retired deacon of the ELCA, and my ministry has been mostly in educational settings. I was a campus minister in three different locations in Wisconsin in the late 1980s to the 90s. In 2000, I moved to Sioux Falls and became the director of Faith Builders Program for the South Dakota Synod from 2001 to 2010. And that program connected me with, that program provided depth study for adults using primarily Augustan and religion professors for adults in this synod across the state. That program also connected me to Select Learning, where I administered online courses to prepare people for lay ministry, as well as coordinating the development of video resources for congregational use. Alongside those ministries, I have also had the privilege of being a spiritual director for over 30 years. A short answer to what is a spiritual director is that I listen to people talk about the unfolding stories of their lives in the context of faith and doubt and hold that in prayer. One of my mentors said, "We listen people to life," which is the tagline for the training program at Kairos University, formerly Sioux Falls Seminary, where I was one of the teachers for 10 years. So Pastor Eric asked me to speak on the Acts text today. So I'm going to go back and read that again because so we have it right in front of us, even though it's a rather long text. But here's the story of Paul in Athens. "Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, 'Athenians, I see how extremely spiritual you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, "To an unknown God." What therefore the world you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it, who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all beings, all things. From one ancestor, he made all peoples to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps fumble for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said. For we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought to not think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by art and the imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." It was strange for me, before reading that text, to give you my history in such big chunks of time, because despite having now been in Sioux Falls for 26 years, I think of myself as a transplant. Because the first two-thirds of my life, I generally moved every 2 to 5 years. My father was in the Air Force, and until I went to college. So when I was in college, they ironically retired from the Air Force, retired, I put in quotes, and moved to Sioux Falls, where he taught computer science at Augustana for a good two decades and was the director of music at First Lutheran from 1975 to 2002. And then my first husband was a pastor, and so we continued that itinerant lifestyle. I think my sense of itinerancy, as misplaced though it may be now, is part of what attracts me to this story of Paul. Paul has come to Athens and is waiting for Timothy and Silas, his traveling companions and fellow evangelists, to join him. Athens was not a destination for him, but a place along the way. But while he's there, he can't help but preach. He was vocal enough that he was brought by the local people, not the Jews, but the local people, to a place where philosophers discoursed to share his new ideas. He looked for ways to connect with the people of that place. He paid attention to and was disturbed by the fact that there were altars to an unknown God. He claims this God he knows, and he's the one that created the world and everything in it, quoting Greek authors when talking about this God. His news that God raised a righteous man from the dead is foolishness to the Greeks, but he lays a wonderful platform to begin to have a conversation. This text has always seemed to me to be both a hopeful and a challenging one. Hopeful because of its inclusivity, challenging because of its inclusivity. We are living in a fractured world. The world has always been fractured. That's nothing new. But the fractures today are announced to us in so many more ways than was even possible 100 years ago, let alone hundreds more or thousands. I'm not qualified to speak knowledgeably to our political and civic divisions, but my heart and experience lead me to reflect on the discourse in our culture over Christianity. Much of what is talked about in the news about the Christian right or Christian nationalism, I don't recognize as the faith I believe in and try to practice. On the other hand, I have great hope and experience in the diversity of expression of God's presence in people's lives and in faith communities. Quoting again from Acts, "The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor, he made all peoples to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps fumble about and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your poets have said. For we too are his offspring." As someone who grew up moving around and who often found my sense of home in a new place, in a church, when we gathered to worship, fellowship, and sing, my dad was usually the choir director, I was aware that my home was not everyone's home, and that we all needed a home, a place of belonging to God and to one another. Paul asserts that God made all people, all people. We are all God's offspring, and God's placed in us the desire to find God so that we would fumble about and find him. Indeed, he is not far from each one of us. This makes sense to me of the plethora of ways, the multiple ways that people gather to worship and belong and serve. Even though we call ourselves Christians, we are still fumbling around looking for God, and frequently, when someone has a new insight or an inspiration, we create a new denomination or we start a different kind of worship service style. It's ironic how often insight and inspiration have led to diversity, if not division. We keep hungering for God and creating diversity of Christian expression, and that doesn't even touch the broader diversity of religious expression. God created us all and put in us a restlessness for finding our connection to spirit, even though God is never far away. it is imaginable to me and a comfort that in him we move and have our being. Since that is imaginable to me, the good news appears to be that creation and all humankind was made by the same loving creator. We all have the same source and sustenance. We are all equally beloved in the eyes of God. What has been confusing, even inside the Christian faith, let alone the rest of humanity, is that how we go about being in relationship to God, how we worship, theologize, and act out our faith can look and feel very different. I happen to be a Lutheran Christian by heritage and by choice. The Lutheran Church has been my home. In Texas, in Ohio, in Illinois, in Colorado, in Wisconsin, and now in South Dakota. I am at home in Lutheran theology, even though I don't agree with all Lutheran theologians. And I have had the privilege of being friend, companion, teacher to people who are Baptists, Evangelicals, Reformed, Methodists, Presbyterians, Roman Catholics, and other flavors of Christian. One of the biggest gifts and teachings of an ecumenical program in spiritual direction like the one I taught in is spiritual and theological hospitality. We don't have to remake others in our own image of faith practices. Lutherans don't have to learn to pray like Pentecostals, and Pentecostals don't have to learn to like written prayers like we in mainline denominations often use. We can listen to each other's faith stories and questions and have our hearts burn within us. We can experience God's presence in the lives of others that are not like our own. We can serve together in the larger community and meet the needs for food, shelter, and health. I often told students that we were fortunate to live in the times that we live in, because we can learn from others, other faith traditions other than the ones we grew up in. We aren't as siloed as I imagined my parents' and my grandparents' generations to be, where families cut children off when they married outside of their faith communities, and where we didn't share faith practices with one another. Today, there are lots of books that share faith practice resources across denominational lines. 30 years ago, that was a new thing. 50 years ago, it didn't hardly exist. I rejoice in that change, and I pray that that hospitality and sharing continues in a time when tension and divisiveness are rampant in our culture and in the world at large. I am grateful that hospitality is one of the core values of our faith community. This value is founded on the understanding that, as Paul said, we are all God's offspring. I pray that we continue to find ways of showing and sharing that hospitality within this congregation, at our work, with our family and friends, and with sisters and brothers of faith of diverse communities. May we be a witness to God's inclusivity in the face of all that seeks to divide us. Amen.